The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One present the NAWC. For nearly a decade, the wrestling podcast of record, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sponsored this week by the following.
What's your favorite match?
My favorite match is with Melina and Alicia Fox.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
It wasn't like I was the one who said I quit.
You shut your mouth!
And to a fond farewell to a handful of talented individuals. Excuse me a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the North American Wrestling Connection. Good evening. My name is Nikki Heyman, and you'll have to excuse my demeanor. This is not what it seems. Let me introduce around the table tonight. Let's start with our sound man who gave us that wonderful intro, Jim Williams.
Good evening, everybody. Hope all is well with those who are listening in. And by the way, as we'll tell you at the end of this podcast, there are a whole host of new ways you can listen into this podcast. We are going to spam the living heck out of every app known to man. No, let's not go that far, but you get the idea.
And somebody who got to keep his gimmick despite the handful of releases, Bad News Beeman.
Yes, yes, yes. Good news is I get to keep my name, and I'm the only BNB left standing. Bad news is King Barrett is the king of the unemployment line.
And finally, our stalwart, Jason Block.
Yeah, appreciate that. Actually, it's sad to see a couple of those releases go, especially one which we will talk about, I guess, now. You want me to take it, or do you have it?
Go ahead.
Okay. WWE has done something for a little bit that they haven't done in a while, which is what usually happens after the WrestleMania season, which is known as spring cleaning. And what they did was they released seven superstars today. And that included Zeb Coulter, who really wasn't doing anything really after that surgery. What was it, hernia surgery or something to that effect? Remember what he was?
He'd had surgery for something. I thought he had a legit broken leg. That's why he was on the scooter to begin with.
Right, but he was not in good health afterwards. And right after that run, it was just, you know, nothing. And when he came back with Alberto Del Rio, as a Mexican sympathizer, it really didn't fly.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. It wasn't working.
No, and because Dutch Mantell, who, you know, by the way, is an awesome talker and a good, you know, good guy, really needed something, and that wasn't it. Mm-hmm. So then we move over to El Torito, which, again, with the new repackaging of Primo and Epico as the Puerto Rican playboys, I'll call them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no market for bull meat, Michael, if you know what I mean, right?
Somewhere he's twerking!
Somewhere there will be a cartoon of JBL barbecuing El Torito.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sorry, the only chance El Torito had of keeping his job is if they took the mask off him and he comes out going, the plane!
Or like, by deduction, considering his moveset, he could take off his mask and they could just go, booyaka, booyaka, 6-1, not what?
Oh, yeah, they put Rey Mysterio on the...
Mini Rey Mysterio, stage. You know it, come on.
And then we move on to Santino Marella, who had a very good relationship with the company up until, you know, his neck injury. And then he moved to Toronto, or I believe he is Canadian, and actually went to Toronto to open the MMA school. And I believe that release was a long time coming.
Yeah, he had
honest.
Been an ambassador at most in the last, I'd say, year to 2 years
right.
With the company. And still could be on friendly terms with them and everything for all we know. But, you know, just a given.
Right. Then we move on to Hornswoggle. Again, somebody who really didn't have much to do for a long time. But honestly speaking, you could put him in the Hall of Fame. You could. Okay.
Well, now that's an interesting statement.
He's been with the company for over a decade.
Yes.
Yes.
And he actually posted a very classy thank you, and if I may. Okay.
Go ahead.
10 years almost. This small town kid was told he could never play any contact sports after being paralyzed from spine surgery. This small town kid wouldn't listen. For the past 10 years, I've lived my dream since I was 4. I'm so incredibly grateful for everything I've experienced, the places I've been, and most importantly, the people I've met. WWE gave me a life no one would ever imagine I'd live. I should have never made it, but I did. And I did that and much more. More importantly, more than anything, I've made my son proud of his dad. And that's awesome, by the way, just for me. And nothing could take that away. Now it's taking the next step, and...
That means he's going to be getting some gold from Jeff Jarrett, it looks like, because he's going to be appearing at a show co-promoted by GFW and WrestlePro. He will be under the name Swoggle, Swoggle, and that will be on June 11th.
And he says, I want to thank everyone that has been along for the ride these past 10 years and are going to be with me on this new journey as well. The family that I'll take with me from WWE has supported me through so many highs and lows. It's absolutely mind-blowing. I have not only met and worked but because friends with people that will forever hold a place in my heart. I love each and every one of you. Life is short, but so am I. So, I mean, but you want to know something? That's class.
Absolute
fucking class and good for, you know.
And it's not, and he's going to be 30 later this month, so he can do a lot more still down the road, so.
Okay.
I thought he was a lot older than that, honestly.
Me too.
And I think that that was a really classy way to do this. So then we go to the other three. Let's start with Cameron, okay? Now. Set this story up a little bit. We're going to tie this into what had happened on Payback and why a certain silverback is right now not with the company at the moment, or at least hanging out at home, shall we?
I was going to say, he was taken off the road. He hasn't been kicked out of the company yet.
Yet.
Right. And Cameron publicly on Twitter basically supported Ryback's statement, which we'll get to. Could have been the reason why she was canned?
No. It was probably a factor. But really, what had she done after the Funkadactyls were broke up? And even then, she was a valet.
Not much.
Main event material at best.
And
the show, not actual
things. I was going to say, but the direction of the women's division, she wasn't going to make it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Exactly, which is why WWE said girl bye.
Oh, very good.
Key points.
Very good.
And of course, you have to remember she had that little DUI incident as well that didn't help her cause either. So
no, that's the reason why she was on main event.
I'm surprised she didn't get canned then.
Yeah, and that was how long ago was that? 2 years ago, I think.
Wasn't that part of the reason why the Funkadactyls broke up?
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Then we move to someone we knew who was releasing, which was King Barrett. That was pretty much broken, 2 months ago?
Yeah. It was obvious with the whole blow-up of the League of Nations and with, you know, his lack of participation in the group not long after they had formed.
And Stu Bennett didn't make any waves about it when he did his little Twitter post saying, well, no, I'm glad that's come to an end. <It's> like, well, good on you, Stu. At least you went out with your head on high.
Well, you want to know something? I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him because I love the I'm afraid I've got some bad news. I
Damn
really
straight.
Did. They should have stayed with that. They should have stayed with that. I really
they
don't. Should, you, don't
they,
you?
Should, they should have stayed with bad news. Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you because fans were getting really over with that, especially when he brought the podium out. Either that, or if you want to go further back, he should have stuck with the Barrett Barrage thing because fans were actually getting behind Barrett Barrage, which I've found rather funny.
Mm-hmm.
But Stu Bennett, I'll say this about him: that was a man that definitely deserved a WWE Championship.
Yes, he did. And I honestly, honest to God, thought it was going to happen during the Nexus.
It should have happened, but hi, kids! Killed that.
Very. Very, very, very.
And then the one that really bothers me the most. Okay? Can you play that thing one more time, just for old time's sake, please? Thank you. Damian Sandow, one of the, a brilliant, and Nikki, you'll agree with me, a brilliant comedic talent,
mm-hmm.
Okay, got over with the fans, okay, and I don't get it. I just don't freaking get it. I really don't.
Creative didn't think highly enough of the man. Simply
creative,
put.
Creative yeah. didn't. Creative apparently had some sort of idea. Actually, I don't think they had any idea when the Mizdow stuff really took off, and I don't understand why they didn't capitalize on that. And then, you know, he went back to his old gimmick, and he couldn't even get on TV.
And the last time we end up seeing him, squash material.
Which I understood. I mean, it was a matter of, you know, going to come back on TV with his gimmick. We had to go through a few, you know, iterations before we could get him on camera to act, to be doing something meaningful. I mean, you couldn't just throw him back into the B-belt picture. It would be a waste to have him come back up with a new tag team partner. It just boggles my mind. Although I wonder if the family issues that had him out for a couple of months earlier might have had something to do with this.
Could be. The fact is that he could, as you said, he could have asked for it to be at home with his family. You know, you never know. We will never really know.
No.
Why he got this, but I will say this: I enjoyed Damian Sandow. I really did. He was funny, and he touched me because he was incredible. He was an entertainer, and he was good at what he did. Okay, he was the savior of the masses. The intellectual savior of the masses.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was a character that was brilliantly put together, and could have transitioned to face, I mean, it was a wasted opportunity with the Money in the Bank briefcase. His whole thing with him and Cody. I mean, there was so much potential there, and this is what really blows. This is the second time he's been through the ringer like this. When he came through back in the mid-late 2000s, 06, 07, 08, when he was part of the Teacher's Pets, they didn't know what in the world to do with him. He was a star in OVW. He had one of the best entrances outside of M&M in the mid-2000s. But they squandered it because they wanted to do something completely different when they put him on TV. He got released. He went out and got some singing. He came back. Brand new character. Finally wins over the audience. WWE doesn't know what to do with him. I mean, it hurts when you get into that cycle, but it hurts even more when it happens to you twice.
Yeah.
I think what would have sucked even more for him is the fact that he's fed WWE so many of these ideas to do with him, and they just haven't latched onto it and gone, yeah, this is actually going over really well. When he started doing the Charlie Haas thing and doing different personas, people were loving that and having
that,
a laugh.
Now that took a little bit of growing on people, because some thought it was a punishment.
I agree. Some thought it was a punishment, but Damien Sandow, even though he might have known it was a punishment, he still took the ball and bloody ran with it.
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, then it morphed into Mizdow, which made it even more epic. And, you know, I may be a little biased, but I think people would agree that Mizdow had some crazy charisma doing all this stuff on the side with Miz, that there should have been an epic. There should have been an epic feud.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, the blow off at WrestleMania 31, and then what? Nothing. And it sucked. It sucked balls. And we said it at the time that it sucked balls.
Yeah. I'll sum that. Let's see if this – oops.
Yeah, you did lose the soundboard.
Okay, yeah, we completely lost the soundboard. I'll work on that. But yeah, it was just nothing. That could have been a spring and summer feud to keep both of them busy.
How much of this do you fault on creative? Not, you know, shall we say? Let me go to the Zack Ryder parallel. Zack Ryder got prominence because he went into business for himself. Do you think the same thing with Sandow? He went into business for himself. Creative kind of didn't like that it wasn't their creation, per se, and punished him because of it?
See, I never heard it that way when it came to Sandow.
That's the thing. I don't get it, because you have Paul Levesque who does his little line of, he loves people that have creativity and have ideas. And if you have an idea, come to him. And when people go to him and give him ideas, people like Sandow get released. How the hell does that work?
Now, remember, you know, there's a big window here between getting all those ideas in and when he was released.
Agreed.
So I don't think it was, you know, I don't really think that him making all these requests is why he got let go.
No, I agree that's not why he got let go. I think it was just simply because the WWE creative had too many other people on board already that they were doing ideas with, that they just didn't have room to fit Sandow in.
And if it's, depending on what his family issues are, which we don't know. You know, he could very well have asked for his release. I mean, he's not a young man. He's been doing this for a while.
How is he 40 yet, or in mid-40s?
Let me verify his... Let me get it. Let me see if I can get his age real quick. He's 35.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got another. He could, you know.
He's got a ways to go yet. He will find stuff to do.
Yes, and he will work on the independent scene just as much as anybody else. And Swoggle, as you said, is taking bookings. All these guys will get indie bookings by.
Yeah, everybody here, everybody in this group, save Cameron.
Yes,
I think could get work. And
yeah, there are a lot of companies looking for women wrestlers. So,
but let's see. Alex Riley needs seasoning. Still needs something. I liked him as Varsity Villain. I jokingly nicknamed him Reggie, and I liked that version of him.
See, that Alex Riley, in my opinion, was a wasted talent. Because, okay, you had him with The Miz, and then you had him beat the absolute crap out of Miz. That was his launching pad right there, to do something great with him.
I think what killed him was when he screwed up. He made a big mistake of making a mistake at a Rumble. And it was storyline, it it didn't mess with the storyline, but it messed with the storytelling, if I remember correctly.
Supposedly he had beef with somebody backstage and it never recovered. I don't know whom.
But then he's taken time off, they've had him go back down to training. And he had to recover from his leg injury and all this. He's come back, and he's got this new look, and he looked like a badass, I'm not going to lie. And he's down in NXT, and he's kicking ass, which I liked, and I think he could have ran with that some more, but I think WWE signing all these hot free agents like Shinsuke Nakamura and all the AJ Styles and all the rest of them, it just was like, Well, sorry, Alex, we've got nothing for you.
So, but yeah, Alex might be able to get something. Hornswoggle, Barrett, and Sandow will find more work. Coulter will probably retire. Torito will probably go back to Mexico. And Cameron, if we see her in another wrestling ring, I'm gonna take the high road. Somebody's willing to give her another chance.
I'm gonna call it and say ROH will give her a chance.
Really?
I'll call it. I'll say I will not be surprised to see her in ROH.
Could be, as a matter, we'll see where it goes.
But all of this making room is, leading into what is supposed to be the new era that was supposed to start at Payback and could have come to a screeching halt in the first 15 minutes.
Oh, dear God.
Okay. An errant and slightly hard, slightly fast swing of Enzo Amore towards the ropes by Simon Gotch. He hit everything wrong. Bounced his head off the mat. Was pretty much unconscious by the time he rolled off the mat and hit the floor. Even before the X went up, I was sitting and watching with Dan Reynolds, and both of us were like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And once the X was up, everything stopped. So this was not storyline.
Oh, no.
He legit knocked himself out, and there is speculation on the web that he might have even stopped breathing.
Oh, dear God, really?
I can't confirm it. But there was some speculation out there that he had actually stopped breathing.
Yeah, because if you see the backstage segment with Amore getting put into the ambulance, you can see Big Cass was bawling his eyes out, so something bad must have really happened for that to have gone down.
I mean, it kind of overshadowed everything else that happened that night. But dust settled. Enzo got his bell rung hard.
Real hard. It's interesting because New Day was ringside for this, and they were goofing off, and they were legitimately using Facebook Live. You saw them taking selfies, it looked like, and everything during promos. They were live, doing live video from where they were sitting in the corner, and I actually saved the video on my computer because I don't know if they were going to take it down or not. And, you know, they go from their happy-go-lucky gimmick to as soon as that moment happens, they just shut the hell up and are like, oh, God. So,
yeah, we knew, you know, they knew something was up. The live crowd knew something was up, and Cass had every right to be bawling his eyes out. The way things are going, it looks like the Vaudevillains were going to end up winning this match anyway. We just have the bonus benefit of a very angry giant.
Oh, yeah. You notice, though, very interesting that Big Cass, you could see the singles potential with him right away.
Yes.
This week. Oh, my God. Okay.
And I'm digging it by the minute. I hope this doesn't kill... This doesn't kill Enzo's momentum, but these two work best when they're together. I mean, they've developed this beautiful New Age Outlaws kind of vibe. But you can see what Cass can do on his own. And when Enzo comes back, and take all the time you need, man. You know. We know how tough you are. You don't have to show this. You don't show us how tough this is. Cause that ring ain't soft. Anyway,
Sorry. S-A-W-F-T. Nope. No, ow. I'm sorry. Yeah, ow. Sorry. I mean, look, we can make fun because he's okay. I mean, that's the only reason why. I'm sorry. Not trying to be, you know, make light of that, because that was pretty fucking scary. Okay.
Really
scary. But what was more interesting, Nikki, and I noticed this while I was watching the pre-show. Okay. The thing was that you had Ziggler winning, beating Baron Corbin. I'm like, all right, fine. But then you had Ryback and Kalisto, and then I noticed him do two things. One, he actually did the It's Clobbering Time thing. Okay. But that wasn't the issue. He wore a weight belt that said, and I quote, the pre-show stopper. Now, I noticed that and I'm going, what in the fuck? Are you really poking the bear? Turns out he was, right, Nick?
He's been a grumpy gorilla of late. And it was essentially something creative and something somewhat money related. So he is sitting at home over what is simply being termed as a contract dispute. However, he posted a short blog about this, and I'm only going to read the money part of it. It blows my mind that in this day and age, we're still adhere to a formula. Let's see. We know who's winning and losing. We have a general idea of what we're going to say. It blows my mind in how it's a sport that's predetermined from a company standpoint that winners are paid so much more than the losers. Every single person who works for the WWE from top to bottom is absolutely just as valuable as the next. The winners cannot win unless the losers go out there and agree to lose to them. It's always been this way, but does that make them right? Times have changed, and our goal as humans should be to evolve and learn from our past and the past of others so we can make this world a better place. Why is it a guy who is told he's going to go out and lose and does everything he's told get paid not only less, but much less than said winner over a period of time? Now, I've already started a conversation on this, but Ryback has a point.
I think I started a debate on this with Jane. I'm not too sure.
And me and Jason discussed this. That there, you know, there's a ladder, of course, of, you know, who falls where on the pecking order. But when you've got a bunch of guys in the middle of everything, I'll use the IC division scramble that we've got going on right now. Owens, Zayn, Cesaro, and Miz. Miz is currently the champion. Miz has the belt. He should probably be paid a bonus for winning it, even though since it's a predetermined thing, it's kind of silly. But he is a champion, and he's drawing. You know, he's a bigger draw. He should make a little bit more money than Owens and Zayn and Cesaro. However, say, you know, Owens and Cesaro have a match. And Owens wins. Ryback is pointing out that Cesaro is going to get paid less than Owens for doing the exact same amount of work. And that's a legit beef. Because, there are extreme examples. There is no way you're going to pay Kalisto the same money as John Cena when they're having, if they end up facing off against each other. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you've got guys that are about the same place on the ladder, they should probably be making about the same amount of money. He also points out the guys higher up, you know, the higher up guys who are already making ridiculous amounts of money are making even more money with the merch. And that the people that are further down on the ladder, the ones that are doing the jobs and might be further down, are not making enough money and don't have any merchandise and can't get the traction to make that to push forward. So why can't they make at least a little bit more money? Maybe to soothe the egos. I'm not sure.
Well, let me ask you this. Isn't this the same question that CM Punk asked 2 years ago?
That's where me and Gene had the debate, I should say. Because I said, dude, Ryback's pretty much saying the exact same thing that CM Punk said 2 years ago, and he called Punk a little whiny bitch for it. So, explain that to me, Ryan.
Yeah, you like, can. You can.
Yes,
you can.
Ryan is actually Big Gorilla. What, smart. Same light? Big Gorilla has done the. Big Gorilla went and did the research, and maybe now he's seeing what Punk sees. You can't change a leopard's spots, but you might be able to change a gorilla's mind.
I know, but now he's got a. If you really wanted me to take that thing seriously with Ryback, he should have said, and I quote, that I apologize for ever giving CM Punk shit about the payment situation because I 100% agree with him.
But you see, he can't say CM Punk because that would get him fired immediately. He's still trying to be reasonably civil on this.
Not necessarily. I mean, he pretty much has already slapped WWE in the face and said, "Well, you guys don't pay me enough, and I'm better than majority of the guys that you've got up." So, what the hell? And then with creative, like he's pretty much saying, well, it's like creative does anything. We're the ones that go out there and do all the damn work. So he should have, he sort of shot off two bullets that could possibly cost him his career. And he even acknowledged that in his, he even acknowledged that in his post. He said WWE might release me for this, but oh well.
So it's important enough for him to say it, if it even if it means his job. I find that kind of noble. It's noble.
I find it noble too. But like, man, like I said though, CM Punk did the same damn thing, man. Like, and I appreciate that Ryan Reeves has gone out of his way to voice his opinion on it and try and make a difference. But, dude, if Phil couldn't make a difference and many others before him tried to make a difference, it's not. It's obviously the wheel ain't going to change.
But that's the thing. I think Phil did make a difference with some stuff. Not with this. But with a lot of other things that he suggested and a lot of other things that came up in his promos in 2011 have come to fruition.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I honestly believe this in my heart and everywhere else, that Phil Brooks, with his podcast that he did, opened the door for, and with his pipe bomb back in the day, opened the door for guys like Daniel Bryan and Kalisto to be where they got. Like Kalisto with his United States Championship and with Daniel Bryan getting the WrestleMania spot he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly thank Phil Brooks for that, because I honestly believe he was the launching pad for that. But, and don't get me wrong, Ryback's a great wrestler. Like, he's shown it that You marks, I should say. I don't want to call you fans because you're a disgrace to the sport. But Ryback has actually improved over the years. He's no longer this big guy that just does rough wrestling. Now he actually does aerial maneuvers and all this sort of stuff. So he's improved his game a lot. I just don't want to see a great career come to an end due to him not making maybe a grand or two less than the guy that beat him.
It's a quandary. I don't know the answer. You know, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, you want to know something? You want to think who is actually giving the start, and that's Triple H, actually. And that is the ideal with NXT, and actually respecting the independent workers. The whole Cruiserweight tournament is going to take time.
Right.
You know, that's what I believe. This is not an overnight thing. Remember, in the 80s, supposedly, Jesse Ventura and Hogan wanted a union in the wrestling biz. That didn't happen, and that will never happen. But the thing is that you're not going to have as many wrestlers, quote unquote, in the mill anymore. What I mean?
No, but the fact, if you can get these guys into six figures, and you've got guys who are going into the business with, you know, already with college degrees, already with some knowledge of what they can and cannot do, what they can and cannot ask for. This is a smarter generation. We're going to have a couple of there's going to be a couple of bad apples, sure, but we're not going to have the kind of fallout that we're getting from the wrestlers from the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s who, you know, have no money or have been running in and out of rehab or aren't even with us anymore.
And the funny thing is that for a little while, up until the wellness policy, things like China were the rule, not the exception. Now, they're the exception, not the rule.
Precisely. Okay.
And And let me just put this out there one more time for those who don't know this, and I've repeated this. Every year, WWE sends out a letter to every performer that they have worked with, past and present. If you need help with drugs, health, or I believe other stuff too, if I'm not mistaken, I forget. I think it's more drugs than anything else. We will pay for rehab, okay? Look at what Tammy Sitch was paid for by the WWE, what, three times, five times to get into rehab, something like that?
And I know they paid multiple times for Scott Hall.
Right. Scott Hall, Sean Waltman, bunch of others.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it with no publicity. They just do it. And, you know, even though, and I'm going to put it, you know, tie it in, you know, we had a wellness suspension with a little bit of a weird twist this week. You know, look with Adam Rose, okay?
Yeah, and now I haven't followed up. I know that he posted something, it was taken down, and then I heard it went back up again. So where are we with that?
I will check his Twitter. Actually.
His doctor's note.
Yeah, I will check his Twitter feed and see. Because it was a doctor's note saying that, you know, he was taking Adderall. Let me see. Adam Rose. Here we go. And I am following him. So he – yeah, here it is. Here is the doctor's – here it is. The doc – he says I'm trying to find the actual note, but I will get there because he actually posted it again. Okay. Here it is. To whom it may concern, this was April 2017. I am writing this letter. I'm reading the doctor's handwriting. On behalf of Adam Rose, Ray LaPan, date of birth, 7/20/79. Since 4/2015, he has shown signs and symptoms of ADHD, determined through a very thorough exam on 4/30/15. He takes Adderall XR, which is an FDA-approved treatment for ADHD, and we have followed all standard of case protocols during his treatment, which has gone very well. He takes his medication as prescribed, and he is compliant with my treatment recommendations. And it's on Dr. Stationery. And he says that the WWE knew about his Adderall for a year. So we'll see. Pardon my screwing up the handwriting, but that's what it said.
It's doctor's handwriting. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would wellness pop him for Adderall? I mean, is it just because is it listed as a narcotic?
Adderall is speed. Adderall is it's an amphetamine, actually.
Okay.
It's a psychostimulant. It's treated, according to Wikipedia, it's prescribed for the treatment of ADHD and narcolepsy, and it's also used as an athletic performance and cognitive enhancer.
Mm.
There you go.
Okay.
And it's got you know, four different stimulants. Okay.
No, I wasn't sure because I know some stuff crosses over.
And supposedly a lot of students take Adderall to keep their brain in shape now these days. They buy it from the kids who actually have it and actually use it for exams and stuff, which is fucked up and crazy, but hey, what can you do?
When you teach to a test, you train for the test.
Sadly, yes. But getting back to the thing at hand, wrestlers, I believe, over the last 10 years have been treated overall better.
And, you know, the whole thing with Adam Rose, since if it's still post, if it's been reposted.
Yes, it has been.
Then, you know, it's just a matter of where was the paperwork when? Because we saw this with Rey Mysterio some years ago. That he got popped mainly because he didn't have the paperwork.
Mm.
So, there's that. I want to go back to the pay-per-view real quick. Over something that I actually didn't get to see because my feed was all screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of the women's match.
Oh, boy.
Sadly, it is just a bunch of sound and bluster that is going to signify nothing, judging from the way things went down on SmackDown. If supposedly Charles Robinson was in cahoots with Rick and Charlotte, he should
Little
not
Mage have, is back.
He shouldn't have been allowed to referee on SmackDown, which he did. There was no consequence. There was no comment. They'd made a bunch of ballyhoo about it on Monday, even pointing out the continuity of him being, you know, actually dressing like Rick and doing all the mannerisms back in 98 when he was with WCW.
Yep, they called him Little Nate, right? Rick called him that a few times himself.
But it meant nothing. Did somebody get cold feet?
Could it have been just a we forgot? I mean, is it possible that the creative just fucking forgot? I mean, I don't mean to sound stupid.
I would think creative be a little bit better than that. But I don't know. It's just interesting that it was dropped so quickly in the course of a show. Stuff that they could have even built a package for to go with SmackDown, not even if they ended up not doing anything when they were actually recording. I don't know.
Let's see what happens on Monday, okay? Because with, by the way, and again, going back to the pay-per-view, this new brotherly-sisterly partnership we now have.
Mm-hmm.
I had a soundboard.
And for some reason, I can't bring the soundboard back in. So
no, I've shut it. I've shut it all down.
Okay. What happens is that, you know, the fact is that they may acknowledge it, but I gotta tell you, this whole let's you both run it and let's see you both go at it, it might get for some interesting stuff, you know, and it did.
Well, it's interesting watching them. Play nice. And Stephanie trying to be genuine about it and actually coming close to succeeding. The problem is we have someone on the roster who has an unbelievably sensitive bullshit detector.
Yes, I will screw up this entire pay-per-view, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Happy Scary Dean is going to sit there and prod the bear, even though, you know, he had to, I think he missed SmackDown more than because he had to have a funeral for Mitch.
Ah! Don't do that! Oh, man!
Leave the memories alone! You'll never change!
He allows Mitch to plant. Never rooted.
Oh, God!
I'm sorry.
No, that
and of
was
course, funny. Your line of the week from our boy Morrow, Super Morrow World Mackle. Payback is a Mitch.
Damn you, Morrow.
He also, actually, no, the line of the week he gave was during the tag team match on SmackDown. Emma getting stomped, and he actually retweeted it and showed some love. Yay. Let me see if I can get the line specifically.
Mm-hmm.
One moment. See, one moment, it should be the new one. Treating Emma like an internet troll. Stomping her and beating the crap out of her.
Wow. Yes. That's a great line.
Lyrical and miracle.
To which the response was a flat what from Waller.
What?
What? Something that hasn't changed in a decade, by the way. Anyway,
Yes.
$50.
Yes, yes. Heel Lawler is not good Lawler. Sorry. Well, let me rephrase that. Forced heel Lawler is not good Lawler. There's a difference.
No, he's so out of practice being a heel. As somebody who went digging around on the network when somebody told me that a bunch of 04 Raws and SmackDowns had been uploaded, I went back and watched the Raw Draft Lottery. An event that I attended, and I got to listen to Lawler being Lawler, where, you know, he was bouncing back and forth with just straight up Raw loyalty and a lot of his traditional mannerisms, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. since he got, you know, he got some bonus footage when Nydia came out when she was drafted to Raw and she took her shirt off.
Yes. Puppies! Yes, exactly.
Yes, that did come up.
So did he. sorry.
No, you're very, you're, you know,
he's
you're...
not wrong, you know.
He isn't.
It's just that Nydia wasn't young enough. Oh, wait. Oh.
I'll pretend you're just, you said 18.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. 18, yes. Thank you.
But, you know, it's just, but I will say... The main event, Reigns Styles was very good. Really good match. Okay.
And it yeah. Now you're talking about the pay-per-view match, or are you talking about what happened on Monday?
Well, the pay-per-view match. I thought the pay-per-view match was excellent. I really did.
Oh no, I am thinking of the same one, cuz the only thing I liked the dynamic. I understood what they were trying to do with having Steph and Shane come out and add stipulations, but it made me think of Eric Bischoff. The rules every 30 seconds deal. I'm sorry, Shane.
Sorry, I completely forgot I was unmuted there. I apologize.
What was I saying? Because I just lost my place.
No, it was about Stephanie and Shane doing the Eric Bischoff thing.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. Change the rules every 30 seconds. Bischoff did it enough times that's the first thing I thought of when they came out and did that. It was still a great match. That bothered me, but I understand it.
Hmm. But you also, and of course, a couple of matches for Extreme Rules are set up, and I believe a third will be set up for it.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, Styles Reigns 2 in an Extreme Rules match, which is basically, you know, anything goes. Mm-hmm. And we have Charlotte and Natalya in a submissions match. Oh, and by the way, Rick is banned from ringside. And no internet, it was not about the fact that he was drunk at the airport. That's the way they were going to go with the match anyway.
Yeah.
But still, it won't be the same seeing Charlotte come out and not see Rick awkwardly dance to his daughter's theme. That is some of the greatest unintentional comedy known to man.
Oh, we'll get to unintentional comedy in a minute. But the third match is what I think is going to happen, which it hasn't been announced yet, but it will be.
Yeah.
The fatal four-way intercontinental scramble with four of the best workers in the business right now. Well, three in the Miz. Well,
three in the Miz, I was going to say.
Three in the Miz, come on.
Yeah, okay.
Three really?
Yeah, really.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, with Kevin Owens, the world's tallest gnome, 00 Cesaro, and this dude who dresses weird.
And his smoking hot wife.
Yeah. That still doesn't make any sense to me to this day, and it should.
But no, but can you, again, making the Intercontinental Championship important. Good stuff.
Right. Now we need to figure out how to do that with the U.S. title. Oh, Rusev might be able to do that if they're going to let him loosen up a little bit with his character. Between his backstage interview and his sit down with Michael Cole this week.
Oh, he actually did. He was the one with the sit down interview. My apologies. Cool. Was it good? Was it a good interview?
I'm going to make sure that's right. I'm pretty sure that was. Damn it! Somebody help me verify this.
I'm going to. I love, by the way, on the interviews that the comments are just hilarious. How everybody hates how Cole says WWE, how he overpronunciates it. Just a random thought there to kill a few seconds for you folks. Let's see.
And yes, it was
Rusev and Lana.
Is Rusev? Yes, they discussed their wedding plans.
And something about eating, ripping out Kalisto's heart and eating it like an apple.
Machka.
They're letting Rusev talk. They're letting him articulate.
It's almost like the whole Capemi cartoon. Somehow Rusev somehow knows how to speak English all of a sudden.
Which I'm okay with, actually.
Yeah, he can talk.
And I have no problem with this. And if this means, you know, this opens up some time, you know, this opens up opportunities that if Lana's going to continue to train, that she can go out there and wrestle. You know, if the whole U.S. title thing doesn't work out for him, we could have Rusev and Lana versus Miz and Maryse. Wait, whose face?
I.
Well, but think of it this way. When Rusev gains the U.S. title back this at Extreme Rules, and he will, it goes full circle.
Yeah,
to
it
a
does.
Degree. And guess who comes back in 3 weeks?
Hakeet.
Hakeet!
Yes. And that Cena-Rusev feud was pretty freaking awesome. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we can do with it.
You know, Cena, again, elevates the U.S. title into meaning something while not being on the top of the card because he doesn't need to be. It's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. No offense, but I don't want to see the U.S. Open Challenge back with Cena as U.S. champ. It's like, John, give someone else a chance.
But see, that's the thing he actually did with that, because his work rate improved and he got other talent over. I think.
I
think what Shane's trying to say is that even though Cena was, you know, wrestling his ass off and, you know, elevating new talent, Cena was still winning.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Which is not putting talent over.
Well, then, would you rather have the dream match that would make Mr. McMahon and Titan Tower splooge? Let's put John Cena against Roman Reigns. Yeah.
If the splooge
coming out the windows of the Titan Tower right now.
Please do not give Seth Green any more ideas.
Oh, God. We'll get to that.
I actually didn't see it, but I've heard unique things about it, so okay.
Go ahead and finish your thought, though.
I was going to say, if it means Roman Reigns spearing the crap out of John Cena or putting him through a table and still keeping the title, I'm all for it.
But by God, that table had a family.
Well, so, AJ Styles has a family too, but I don't think Roman Reigns cared about that when he put him through the table.
By the way, you mentioned table. Apparently, they're doing this as a thing now through all the pay-per-views, having like 6 or 7 different announced teams on site, which is kind of neat.
Which is to try to give the shows more of a big fight feel, because they know you're only paying $9.99 for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Germans are now the ones ringside with Carlos and Michael and company. But yes, Funaki, number one SmackDown announcer. Yay!
Yay!
But also, when I figured this out also, at least in the archives, not necessarily live, they have archived, at least back to either Mania or right before it, the archives are in 4 or 5 or 6 different languages. So that's kind of new, too.
So if you really don't want to listen to Michael Cole...
you must hear Roman Reigns spear in German. There you go.
I actually did listen to some of the German. It was...
Really?
It was unique. It was unique. And of course, anytime the Spanish announce table gets killed, I have to listen to the Spanish announce team. Because I'm sick.
No.
Ah, oh, no! Que faguenta! Brutal! Brutal!
Which translates to, oh god, no, we have to rebuild this again.
Ay, Dios mío!
Ay, Dios mío!
¿Dónde están mis
amigos?
Yes, ¿dónde están mis pantalones?
No. Oh, so that's... That... There we go. I finally figured out the secret. So that's what's going to happen to Rusev after this short little push.
So,
they're going to have him lose to Cena. Cena regains the US title. And then Rusev gets put on the Bulgarian announce table.
Oh, God.
That being said, we're one step away from the Ho Chi Minh Chow Chinese announce table that Rock was billing years ago. So,
Be careful, because Lawler's been butchering Japanese. Every time Mauro calls a Japanese move.
Mishinoku driver.
Endomame something or other.
Yeah.
Yeah, Endomame, yes, yeah. Oh, God.
Can we just have more? No disrespect to Byron, because everybody hates Chris. Just have Mauro work with Lawler. Why must we have... I know the answer, but why must we have a 3-person team at all times? We don't need it.
I could say it, but I won't. But I'm thinking it. You understand why. Okay.
Oh, EEO requirements?
Yes, exactly. Well, everyone's a little bit racist. Yes, yeah, sorry. It's the truth. But it's...
Put Renee on the table. I don't care.
I would love to... You know what? I would
Please?
Rather... Yes. Yes, I would love to have Renee call a match. Let's do it.
Yes. Well, she's ducked in NXT, so...
Excuse me. I would love to hear her call her boyfriend's matches.
Oh, that would be fun.
This is something I get every night. Dirty Deeds!
And they're done dirt cheap, too!
Yes.
Hey!
Just the amount of good material that can come out of her mouth just for a Dean Ambrose match would be amazing.
That well, could be taken a few different ways, Shane, and all of them correct.
Yeah, and she is going to be on Total Divas.
Yeah, that's right. She's already hyped about that and how Ambrose isn't big on the cameras, so... Ooh.
I could say something right now, but I'm withholding.
Oh, you bastard! Like,
I'm trying so hard not to say it.
Again, what a titty master does in his own private quarters stays with the titty master.
No, my thought was more like Renee on the announce team when Jerry asks her how the service for Mitch the Plant went. It's like, Dean never needed Mitch. He's already got my bush.
Oh, my.
Sorry.
Wow.
Is Shane Beeman the best in his future endeavors?
Hey.
I only thought Uncle Paul would be that lewd.
Yes. Oh, and by
anyway, moving on.
Speaking of lewd.
Okay. First of all, I'm not a fan of Seth Green to begin with.
But
so going into Camp WWE, I had very low expectations, and he exceeded them.
with flying colors, question mark?
Okay, I'm sorry. Am I the only one that actually like found it a little bit entertaining?
There were Vince McMahon saying random crap is pretty entertaining. Whoever's voicing Triple H has got him completely pegged in a total pile of self-deprecation. I love it. Whoever's playing Austin should be fired. Whoever's playing Big Show isn't bad. And I would love to see where they're going with Undertaker as like one of the campers.
Oh, God. The guy that's playing Undertaker, you're dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Oh,
who the hell do you think you are, you mean? Yeah.
It's like, hey, guys, can we... And they did the most crudest thing. They were like... With Taker, they were like, hey, guys, can we move this thing along? Because, you know, Big Show's dad's Jewish, and you have no idea how long those things take.
Oh, God! That's so wrong! Okay.
But Jason,
yeah,
is it really? Question mark?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, excuse me. I'm going to hell, but yeah, they're long ceremonies.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
You're not being mean. You're just being truthful.
Speaking from experience.
I am sadly speaking from experience.
Sad to say.
But yeah, the fact that Vince McMahon is actually saying things like, "I can't wear this bra anymore," you know,
a bra. I can't wear this. Probably.
That Vince McMahon is saying shit is enough.
I mean. You know, that and the stuff with Slaughter was actually pretty cool. Some of the stuff with Rick went way too long, although the internet is flipping their shit over the implication that Ric Flair is shagging a bear.
Woo!
Yeah, woo! Yeah.
And okay. Shagged her twice in the first episode.
Hey, the bear doesn't have to pay alimony.
Oh, God! That's gross. Jeez. No,
not wrong, though.
It is not incorrect.
Yes.
Not only shagging a bear, but shagging Space Mountain, too.
Woo! That's right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that scene.
Let's just remember that's the only thing that was hard in that scene.
Oh,
oh my God. Wow.
So wrong.
But
Shots fired.
And unlike Rick's, they aren't blanks.
And of course, Cena being the whiny, I want to go home. That's perfect camp. That's perfect casting right there. Yeah. At least.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fun that he's the one that's getting picked on the whole time, which is okay with me.
That and he's like the everyone knows he's a company loyal guy, yet he can't wait to get away from WWE camp. He's like, I'm out of here. To the point where Vince McMahon's chasing him on a speedboat made from a pill. It's like, what the hell, Vince?
How long before he flies away?
Oh, come on. Vince McMahon would be willing to invest in Capsule Corp.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, nice! Oh, wow! Good Dragon Ball Z reference. Yes.
No, they really did, though.
The giraffe, I can't explain.
It's an over 9,000.
Also, is him like just chuck this thing in the water and it expanded to a boat. I'm like, what the hell?
Like I said, I thought a Capsule Corp. The random giraffe I haven't been able to explain yet.
Aren't the Bellas also in it?
Yes, the Bellas are in it. Kevin Owens is in it. Seth Rollins is in it. Dean's in it because he's even referenced during one part where Vince is not listening to Hunter and Stephanie explain all the stuff that was happening in camp. And Hunter made a comment that he confiscated a ton of porn from Dean.
Excuse me. That wouldn't shock me a moment. I'm telling you, man.
He was on the cloud, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
you know what the funny thing is about this? Is that Nikki Bella actually called up and complained about this show. She's like, you got my chest size wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Cena, if he really wanted to leave, could use the balloons that Gravity forgot. Oh, wait, they're kids. Never mind.
That hasn't happened yet. Would be the answer to Nikki. Besides, I don't know what the minimum age is for that kind of surgery. So, but just, you know, I mean, it had some funny moments.
but it's not something I would regularly watch. It's essentially another cartoon with a handful of dick jokes and a little bit of, you know, a little bit of wrestling continuity. I don't know if I'll watch the next episode or not. I haven't decided.
Well, the Rock is going to be in it. I don't know. Not the voice by the Rock, so.
No. But he's one of the kids, so he's not going to be voiced. See, a lot of people are complaining, oh, Hunter's not voicing himself. Well, of course not. He's going to voice, he's playing him, his own father, Quadruple H. His buddies call him Quad. He will play his own father in the series. Because
I was going to say, if you're going to have somebody named Quad, where's Kevin Nash?
Well, you know, I've heard a little bit about this cartoon, I looked at Hunter and I said, you know, man, this isn't my kind of thing.
Oh my God, they didn't have enough wine in there, you know.
It's like, Paul, you couldn't get me on enough drugs to do this crap. I'm out. Oh, God. Going back to Stephanie for a second, she actually, speaking of Triple H and Stephanie for a sec, Stephanie has actually undermined Paul Levesque in a little bit of a sense.
How's that?
Because she was questioned by, I believe it was TMZ, about whether China will be put into the WWE Hall of Fame. And Stephanie, just without even thinking about it, said, yeah, we can see her in the Hall of Fame one day. I stopped and said to myself, holy crap, did I just really hear that right?
Well, Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, you know, she's like, she doesn't know when or where, but she says it's going to happen. So, you know.
And the first steps are already being taken. China's back on .com under the alumni section, I believe.
Right. And so there's a section for, let me check again. I think there was a section for her in collections. Hang on.
Mm-hmm. So it's a shame it had to come to this, no question, mm-hmm. but it's going to take her passing for her to be posthumously put in.
Well, yeah. I was actually talking with someone about this recently because they were like, oh, it's crap to say that China has to be dead just to get into the Hall of Fame. I'm like, well, if you stop and think about it, like really think about it, most people in the WWE Hall of Fame that were either considered lower level or considered in WWE's bad books all got into the WWE Hall of Fame after they died. Or when they were near death, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I hate to say it, yeah, that's it. WWE, I don't know if they're doing it intentionally, but they're creating this trend that, yeah, to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, if you're not considered good by us, you pretty much have to be dead.
Yeah.
Sad to say, this way we know you're not going to screw it up anymore.
Exactly. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
But you just find it funny because, like, here's Triple H. Here's Triple H on a Stone Cold podcast saying to Steve, does China deserve to be in the WWE Hall of Fame? Yeah, definitely. Will she be there? Not very likely, due to the fact that when you search China up, the first thing that comes up is a porn website. But yet, here's his wife.
He wants her.
Here's his wife a year and a half later going, well, yeah, definitely. She'll be in there one day. Don't know when, but she'll be there.
Yeah, when their kids are old enough to understand that when they Google China's name, that they don't go to those sites. Although, speaking of such horrific content, Mr. Block.
Yes.
Did you hear that Hogan's still chasing Gawker?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is going to get real interesting real fast. And I'm going to actually pull this up. And why? Because, okay, here is what they're doing. And this is from Sports Illustrated. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They are, and I am pulling this up because I need to, this is, they actually went through this, as they went through the timeline that we have talked about this, and here is the second one, okay? Now, he sued them because it was because the leak of the racist audio from the sex tape, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where he used the N-bomb multiple times, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Now, remember, the National Enquirer had it in July 2015, but he is claiming that Gawker was responsible for getting the transcript and the tapes from Gawker, from the court case, to the Enquirer. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the lawsuit stated, quote, Gawker threatened plaintiff with the public release of a written transcript containing racially insensitive remarks, okay? And the suit also posted the site was not able to publish the transcript because of a protective order, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the Hogan lawsuit also states that Denton wrote in an article that just before the publishing of the Enquirer story that Mr. Bollea's real secret would soon be revealed. The suit added only 14 minutes... Only 14 minutes after the Enquirer posted the court protected confidential transcript, Dolario, which is the one of the editors of Gawker, sent a tweet to plaintiff's Twitter account stating XOXOXO and attaching a link to the Enquirer post. And of course, Gawker denies this. And he's also going after a group of Florida residents for supposedly sending at least one of the sex tape recordings to the Gawker for undisclosed money. He'll win this one, too.
Yeah.
He'll win this one, too. Because you know as well as I do that Gawker leaked it to the Enquirer. You know they did.
Sure.
Okay? Because they specifically wanted to ruin his career. They did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're in the hole for $225. They might as well, appeal the suit. But they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They're in trouble because there is precedent now with Gawker in the state. Hogan's going to win this one too. I really believe this.
That Gawker may be out of business before much longer. I mean, legitimately.
You know, exactly. It's yeah, and believe me, this is going to get fun. It's going to get fun.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting, but fun. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not that bad to be Hoagy Poagy after all.
No, it's not. I mean, well, the thing is that will he ever get the money? Probably not. But he's got... But the thing is, will we see him in the WWE? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Possibly. Potentially.
If he wins the lawsuit and he's cleared of everything... We'll see him, I don't want to say at no time, but he'll be back, no question.
Oh, yeah. It's right now, we've got a very, like I said, we've got the rush to Extreme Rules because it is going to be, it's 2 weeks away. So mm-hmm. they got to book stuff fast. Okay. And
which is why I'm not a fan of the concept of two pay-per-views in a month, especially a 3-month window between pay-per-views. It devalues the whole damn thing, really.
Yeah, it does. But we will see where this the Extreme Rules thing is because I think we may have a certain sellout sooner rather than later show up. Possibly Extreme Rules.
I think we will see him sooner than later. I am pleasantly surprised he didn't show up at Payback. But I know he's chomping at the bit to get back out there.
Of course he is.
Well, we need him.
Yeah, we do.
We kind of need him right now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to potentially be a part of a club. Maybe. Just a thought.
That's a thought. Or actually, my thought would be somehow, some way, Stephanie just sneaks Seth in there to pull another heist.
Mm-hmm.
and he's going to be running with his ass on fire and the belt in the air while three Samoans and three Japan seasoned wrestlers chase him.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, and speaking of that, actually, speaking of Samoans, we all know that the Balor Joe 3 is going to happen on June 8th at TakeOver.
Yes. Right?
But we found out that NXT is going to be doing its first ever steel cage match for Samoa Joe Balor 3.
Nice.
Those two in a cage? Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
I'm gonna say this right now. Finn, for the love of God, if you value your career, do not attempt coup de grace off the top of the cage.
Please.
If I see you attempt it, you're an idiot. Cause we know that these guys are gonna, Joe and Finn are gonna attempt to do something insane for this match.
No, if they're gonna, no, nope. I'm not even gonna.
You were gonna say?
I was gonna say something about a muscle buster from way
too
high.
Yeah, super muscle buster. I was thinking the exact same damn thing. Muscle buster from top of the rope. Oh god.
Muscle buster from the top of the cage. Oh shit.
Enzo won't be the only one in hospital.
So I think that was everything I had on the list.
Seems about right.
Yep.
Do we cover any UFC news? I don't think we do.
We didn't, but if you've got any, go ahead.
I've seen something that's caught my attention. Now, we all know about that Conor McGregor's pretty much been kicked off of UFC 200. I think he's done something that's like a big FU to Dana White, saying, well, all right, well, you're not going to give me money for this fight. Well, I'm going to go out and get my own damn money. So he's gone and made a call to Floyd Mayweather's manager and said, can we do this fight already? Let's go.
Oh, wow. So that's what the 50th fight might be.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor are on the verge of signing the super fight.
Oh, my heavens.
But here's the downside to it. In order for Conor to get what he wants, as always with any Floyd Mayweather fight, it has to be done under Floyd's rules.
Which means he gets 85% of everything.
More than likely, yeah, it'll be a 70-30 split. And expect a lot of hugging involved from Floyd Mayweather.
Did somebody say
70-30 in the money or the points?
Both.
And by the way, yeah, that was from the Sun, and according to Fox Sports Australia, bullshit, pretty much. Everyone's going bullshit, so.
I don't know. I'll wait to see if it is verified. But Floyd's been pretty pissed at McGregor for the past year about, because he's was seen on an interview saying that if him and Floyd ever did have a fight, he'd knock Floyd out in 30 seconds.
Well, we know Mauro will call it, so that'll be good.
No, it'll be
and
Jim.
He'll knock him out in 30 seconds, and both of them will make $30 million.
It'll be Jim Ross calling it, being like, oh my God, he's knocked him out cold.
By God almighty, by God, McGregor.
He's actually very good in the boxing. What is it, the Premier Boxing Championships, I believe they're called?
No, he was doing something for, I believe they called it the Fight Night at the D in Las Vegas a few weeks back.
It was good.
Because Mauro does the CBS Sports stuff for Premier Boxing Championships, because it's, you know, CBS Showtime and everything. So, but yeah, JR does a good job. He does good at anything he does. Enough said. Except that one weird online pay-per-view. Well,
that wasn't entirely his fault.
Exactly. Riff, freaking Raff. Indeed.
So with that in the books, say we call it a show?
Sure.
But before we go, Shane, do you have anything to promote?
No, have nothing to promote.
Jim, Jason, have at it.
All righty.
All right.
Go ahead. We'll start with.
We'll do it. We'll very quickly because I know you got to get away. Red state, blue state. We talked about, you know, and then there was one on the Republican side, Trump, and we basically had an hour long riff on what that means, where they are, etc. We're going to do a new episode of Pixel Nation this weekend. WLTI, We Love to Interrupt, did another fine episode this weekend. We had a 2-week catch up, and we're now into full May sweeps mode with a bunch of tournaments happening. Mm-hmm. And mashup week on Let's Make a Deal. BS Big Show is going to come back next week, I believe, along with Touch 'Em All.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Spec Riffs, Paper Review. I think I got all the shows that are around.
You hit all the favorites, and you can find them in a host of ways.
Yes. You got the list. Go for it.
Well, of course, Spectrum1.net. That's the hub for everything. See? Hub. Pony. There. It doesn't exist anymore. Waha.
Right.
It's also available, our podcast also available on TuneIn.com and the TuneIn Radio app. Just search Spectrum 1 or search the name of the podcast you want to listen to. We're also on Player.fm, Stitcher Radio. We're back on iTunes. Yay!
Yay!
And Google Play Music as well. So we're all over them internets. You can't get away from us, folks. We're like creepy. Your uncle and your daddy.
Yes, exactly. And I've got to take off, so I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Don't keep it loose for creepy pony.
And I really don't have anything to promote because I'm right here. And I apologize for my mild histrionics at the beginning of the show. That's not how the North American Wrestling Connection works.
Where you have the power of positivity that will compel you.
She was just a bit upset about Damien Sandow getting fired.
Oh, come
okay?
on, but that's not true. She was upset over El Torito.
Pony.
Bull.
Yeah.
Wahaha.
So for Jason Block and Jim Williams and for Shane Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do come back next week. We will have it. We will have things in slightly better order.
But until then, stay golden, Pony Boy. The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at spectrumone.net.